It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Since the Lord just ministering to people, encouraging them, just removing any place of stress and worry and concern. A lot of what I believe the Lord wants to talk to us about has to center on that place of just trusting the Lord. I think Josh's testimony was really, really good to help each one of us just realize how essential it is for us to really just say to the Lord, you know all things, you see all things, and I trust you with my life. It's really important. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll dive into the Word. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for every heart being open to receive from you. We thank you that you are desiring to do a work in each one of us, that this is a very pivotal point in each one of our lives of continually choosing to do what you want us to do, to live in a place of submission to you, of yieldedness to you. And God, there's such an important place of trusting what you say and obeying it. I just pray, God, that you would just enlarge our faith, help the capacity of our hearts to be expanded, to walk in a greater place of love and passion for you. You said in your word that if we love you, we'll obey your commandments. And I pray that they would be a stirring deep in our hearts to pursue after that which you've placed before us, that we would not neglect the gift that we've been given by the Holy Spirit, that we would not neglect the gifts and the anointing and the power that's available to us, but Father, that we would press in to receive from you everything that we need to do what you called us to do, and that we would not just walk through life living subpar to your calling, but God, that we would step up to those places that you're calling us into. And God, that we would not do it in fear, that we would not do it in reservation, but God, that we wouldn't do it in hesitation, but that we would fully give ourselves to run after that which you put before us, and that we would be not just willing, but that we would be passionate about seeing your will accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. And we just thank you for just having your way in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so I'm going to keep it pretty simple. 11:24. All right, so the gospel is pretty simple. It just declares that we were created to walk in a right relationship with God through His grace. Okay, so we don't walk in a right relationship with God without the grace of God. So you don't have it in and through yourself. You don't have the ability to walk in a right relationship with God without His grace. So you'll struggle. And many of us, we know what that struggle looks like, right? Because we've struggled. And the reason we struggle is because we've not fully given way for His grace to have its way in and through our life. And the Bible makes it abundantly clear that the grace of God, or another definition for the grace of God, is the power of God for you to be able to do His will, is received because of faith. Because we boldly come before His throne and receive the grace, the help that we need. And so boldness or courage comes as a result of fully trusting that He is who He says He is. He'll do what He says He'll do. And I can fully yield my life over and submit my life to Him to have His way in and through my heart. So anything the Lord asks of me, or anything that the Lord requires of me, or any standard the Lord desires for me to live by, I can receive power or grace to do what He's called me to do. And if we struggle in places, it's simply because we've not received of His grace. And all we have to do to see why we haven't received His grace is to look at what we're putting our trust in. Oftentimes we put our trust in our own ability or our own understanding or our own wisdom or our own insight or what we've done in the past. And so therefore we're leaning on our own strength or our own abilities. And when we do that, the Lord has a very interesting way to expose that what we're leaning on is fragile and is broken and doesn't have the power to hold us up. Because what happens? Anytime that we don't lean on Him and trust Him, He doesn't order our steps. Because the Bible says, trust in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps. Well, when we see our steps stumbling, when we see ourselves falling all over ourselves, and it doesn't seem like things are adding up, things aren't working, what's the first thing to do is okay, what am I leaning on? What am I trusting on? What am I putting pressure on? Okay? I mean, Justin, you probably know this better than anybody. when you first had your leg amputated, the whole balance of your whole life was messed up, wasn't it? You had to learn to lean on something differently, and then even when you got your prosthetic leg, there still was a process to learn to trust that place. I know when I had my two ACL surgeries, there still was a process. I mean, I walked around for 6 weeks on crutches because I tore my meniscus on both sides and broke cracked the base of my femur and tore the ACL completely in half. And after they did all that reconstructive surgery, even though I was going to physical therapy, it took months, even years, before I could feel comfortable to do certain things because those places were being built up, and that was a natural thing that was taking place. In the spirit, we're called to learn to live in this place of fully trusting God, to lean on Him for everything, not just some things, in everything. And in that process of leaning on the Lord, there's this transfer that takes place. When I put my trust in God, the grace of God or the power of God begins to flow into my life. And so you'll hear a lot of people say, well, I don't feel the grace of God. And it could be why a lot of people say it is that they think, well, my season's over, so therefore I don't feel the grace of God. But it also could be the reason you're not feeling the grace of God because you're not trusting God. And it's not that it's the end of a season, it's that you have forfeited your season to victory. You've forfeited your season of seeing the harvest come to pass because you have not leaned on the Lord and trusted Him. You're trusting in your own ability. You're trusting in your circumstances. And so God has a way of stripping away the things that we lean on so that we realize who we trust in. And it's in those places it's very uncomfortable because we're falling all over the place. You're tripping up. You're wondering, oh my gosh, everything seems hard. Anybody ever been in a season where it seemed like everything you did, I mean, even getting up was hard? Right? It was like, oh my gosh. And no matter what you tried to do, it was as if you're spinning your wheels and you're feeling like, man, it's not. There's no traction. Everything seems like it's falling apart. It just feels like I'm struggling. And what's happening is you're not walking in the grace of God, the power of God for you to be able to do His will. And so therefore, nothing's connecting. It's kind of like you can have a brand new vehicle out here, but if you don't have the battery connected, it doesn't matter what you got into that hood, how powerful it is, how fast it can go on the spec sheet, you turn that key, it's not coming on. And in many ways, it feels like our life is just not running. It's every time I go to do something, it's like I'm having to get a jump. And we're just barely getting by. And the problem is when we live in this place, we have what I like to call, you know how you have compounding interest in the financial world when you invest things and it begins to build up, and then you're making money off the money that you made and it just keeps multiplying and growing. Well, this happens in our lives with grace. When we begin to lean on the Lord in one area, we receive strength, and then we learn to lean in Him in another area, and it begins to compound. And then all of a sudden, we begin to walk in the fullness of who God is, and begin to walk in the power of God. But the same is true in reverse, too. When we don't lean on the Lord, we don't trust in Him, then fears begin to come, and they begin to mount an assault against who we are and what we trust in, and it begins to isolate us and constrict us, and all of a sudden, what would be for us when we lean on God, instead of us growing, we shrink as individuals, and we find ourselves isolated in our room alone, wondering where has life taken us. And it's because we've placed our trust in our own ability or in the circumstances around us or in things other than God. And we can only receive grace by putting our faith in the Lord. And so the gospel declares that we were created to walk in right relationship with God through the grace of Jesus. This work of God in us reveals to the world, to principalities and powers in the air, to the heavens, to everybody around you, it reveals God's riches towards us. And when we live in this place of surrender to the Lord, people can encounter God just because you have put your trust in God. Like, people can sense when you're walking in the grace of God, and it becomes this attractive thing on your life that causes people to go, man, I don't know what you got, but I need that. In fact, you see this over and over and over again in the book of Acts. They were simply placing their trust in God. Paul was on, he got arrested and was being drugged to Rome, and they got shipwrecked. And what happened? Every time something bad happened, you didn't see Paul freaking out. He was trusting God. And there would be supernatural events where God protected them. He got bit by the snake and he didn't die. And every single encounter, good and bad, according to the world's view, revealed the power of God on his life. And at every occasion, what happened? People will go, "You've been with God and I need to know him." See, the mission of Church on the Rock is to equip you to go out in the world and to impact the world. But you can't impact the world if you're not walking in grace. You can't make a difference in the lives of people if you've not allowed Jesus to make a difference in your own life. You'll struggle. And in many ways, I felt this at times before in my life, is you'll know the right things to say, but you don't feel qualified to say them because there's still other things going on in your life that you know are not grace-filled. There's not the power of God working in your life, and so therefore you feel disqualified. And so when you do say those type of things, you try to encourage people around you, it feels false, it feels fake, it feels insincere, it lacks authenticity. And the problem is that you've not fully surrendered to the Lord. And by not stepping out to encourage others, you're still not surrendering to the Lord. And the question that I want to ask you today is, at what point do you just simply step out to obey God and start trusting Him? Because the enemy will make you very aware of all the places in your life that are not grace-filled. He'll make you super aware that those places that you're struggling in those areas. He'll make you super aware that you're disqualified to do anything for the Lord. And what happens is, when He speaks to you, when He says, "Go do this," or "Share this," or "Do this," or "This is the season that God's called you to do this in," you will not do it. Why? Because you feel like you're disqualified. And in doing so, you're still not trusting God. And you're forsaking the grace that He wants to pour out over you in your obedience. Faith produces a lifestyle of obedience to God. And it's in that stepping out to obey God that grace comes. It's not that you feel grace and therefore you do. You hear God and you say yes to God, and in your trust to Him you step out to do, and grace meets you at that point of decision and stepping out, and you're empowered to do what you otherwise could not have done. I mean, the whole point of faith is what? You're not exactly sure, but you trust the one who does. He knows everything. And it's actually this faith to step out to obey what you don't know how to do, to say yes to the Lord in those areas. And it's in those places of transaction in the Spirit that you receive the power of God to do what He wants you to do. And so many people are wondering when God will move. And it has nothing to do with God moving. It has to do with you obeying. Heaven is wondering, when are you going to move and obey God? When are you going to step out and simply do what you already know you're supposed to be doing? See, it doesn't have to be complex at all. It could be the simplicity of just spending time in devotion with your kids, reading the Bible. It could be simply, that quiet time in the morning of praying. Knowing the things you're supposed to do right here, right now, and actually stepping out and doing them is that place of faith. And it's in that place that grace meets you there. And the biggest struggle we have is simply putting one foot in front of the other to do what we know to do. And we're waiting for some kind of supernatural power to meet us there, to make us do what we can't otherwise do. And the Lord's saying, no, you step out in faith and I'll meet you there. On the day of Pentecost, what happened? Jesus had told the disciples, you've got a great calling on your life, you're going to impact the world, right? They knew that. Jesus had told that. He had prophesied over them. They were going to turn the world upside down. But he said, before you do anything, you're going to go and do what? Wait. Wait. And he didn't tell them when it was going to happen. He just said, go wait until you're endued with power. And I'm going to do such and such. And so he told them where to go and he told them what to do. He told them, go here and you wait. Two instructions. And this type of waiting is an action word. It's not a passive word. Okay. So he told them where to go and he told them what to do. And it was conditional on their obedience in order for them to experience what God had called them to experience and walk in. They stepped out and for 50 days, or for 40 days, they did what? They waited. They waited and they waited and they prayed and they waited and they prayed and they pressed in. And the Bible says that on that day, the day of Pentecost, what happened? They were endued with power to do what? To be a witness. This was a very specific task. You're to go here and you're to wait. So that why? So that you can receive this in order to do something. It was never just this so you could feel good. The Holy Spirit was not just so that you didn't have to worry about anything and life would be great. The Holy Spirit's power has purpose, and its purpose was to do what? To make them a witness, to give evidence of the power of God and who God was to the world around them, so the world would be turned upside down, so the world would be transformed and changed through the grace of God in which they were co-heirs of Jesus with. They were called to walk in His grace and to walk in His power. So, in Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to read, this is going to be my main text, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. This is Paul's prayer to the church at Ephesus. And he is talking about, if you read the whole chapter of chapter 3 begins with how God had graced Paul to minister to the Gentiles, everybody that wasn't Jewish, to the whole known world, and to reveal the mystery of God working in us and through us to turn the world upside down. So that was the message of the beginning of chapter 3. So then at the end here, in verse 14, he then declares the prayer that he prays for them to walk in this same grace. So he says, when I think of all this, what is he talking about? This grace of God, this calling of God, this power of God for you to do what God's called you to do. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand all, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So, number one thing that he prays here and he makes us aware of is strength comes from God's unlimited power working in our inner man by the Holy Spirit. So strength comes from His unlimited power. Is there any limit in God? None. There's no limit in Him. He has unlimited resources, unlimited power, and He has the ability to exercise that power in and through our lives at any time. I had a situation the other day, and I was praying a specific way about God meeting a specific need there at the church, and I was thinking about this, this, and this, and the Lord said, well, that ain't the only way it can happen. And I began, when He said that to me, I realized immediately that I was so narrow-minded in my approach to even praying about a situation that I only considered a certain way. I had the Lord say something else to me the other day. I was dealing with the insurance, and insurance is just stupid high for driving insurance. And I was looking at it, it was going to be like $4,000 or $5,000, and I said, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. And I said, oh, Lord, you got to figure out a way to make this thing lower. And he goes, well, what if it's higher? Well, that don't sound good. Like, that ain't answering my problem here. But instantly I knew what he was saying is, it doesn't matter where it's at. I am more than sufficient to meet all your needs according to my riches and glory. So don't get caught up on what we think is the problem. The real problem is not the things that we're facing. The real problem is usually in our head and in our heart, where we don't think God is enough to meet those needs. And so therefore, we don't trust Him in those areas. We don't enter into a place of faith and declaration of who God is in those situations. Instead, we enter into a place of complaining. Complaints, murmuring and complaining reveals the lack of faith that we have towards our situation. The bigger the problem is, usually creates a bigger dialogue that we have with people around us of how bad it is, instead of it creating a place of watch what God can do. We have this belief, and we know it's a belief because it's got to be, because anything that goes on that gets in our heart and starts coming out of our mouth is a belief system, right? We have this belief system that God only works in the realm, when it comes to problems, in the realm of subtraction. We think that the solution to what we're facing is God gets rid of whatever we're facing. And it could be that God's calling you into a place where problems become multiplied, and He is going to get glory in resolving multiple problems in those situations. He's graced you to go into those situations and bring godly solutions to more problems than you've ever faced in your life. But if you can't trust God with the simple things right in front of you, how are you going to step into the next season of multiplied problems where God's glory and grace can be revealed and the testimony of God's power can be seen by the whole world? You know, people ask for miracles, but they don't want the stuff that happens in order to need a miracle.
That's right.
You know, there's this struggle that we have in our daily life is we want to walk where God wants us to walk, but we don't want to face the things that are in us that keep us from walking there. And God in His goodness will expose what is in us by allowing things to come into our lives that otherwise would pull out what's in us and show us and reveal to us where our faith really is. There's stuff that God allows in His mercy and in His goodness to come into our lives to reveal to us that we're not trusting Him in an area. And we end up rebuking it, casting the devil out, and it's the Lord trying to rebuke and cast out the belief system that you're carrying in your heart that doesn't fully trust the Lord. You know, we ask the Lord, Lord, have your way. But then when He has His way, we're like, whoa, wait a second. Do you know what you're doing? Are you sure about that? That is not what I imagined when you spoke to me that prophetic word. That did not fit my picture of what it was going to look like when heaven invaded earth. It just doesn't make any sense here. And we struggle in this place. Why? It's because we're not fully trusting the Lord. We don't trust Him that He's good. We don't trust Him that He loves us and knows things about us. And He's working all these things out for our good, for those that love Him. We don't truly believe those things, because if we did, then when we face problems, when we face situations, we would count it all joy. We would be celebrating. Oh, thank you, God. This is an opportunity for your kingdom and your power to be revealed in the earth. Thank you, Lord. Opportunity for a testimony see God move in a powerful way in this area in my life. And me and Laura were talking about this the other day, about maybe it'd be really nice for our house to sell right now. But in the meantime, we're just going to praise God. Thank you, Lord, that we're able to make two house payments and two electric bills and two gas payments and pay for school that we didn't pay before and do all this stuff. Thank you, God, that you're making somehow the money to stretch and us to have abundance in the middle of not knowing what in the world is going to happen here the next day or two. We just trust you. We have an opportunity to trust God in a way we wouldn't have to trust God if these situations weren't around, and it's causing the capacity of our heart to enlarge so that when I face other things down the road, I will be well equipped by the grace of God that was apprehended in that moment of trust to be able to do what He's called me to do. Sometimes the stuff you're going through really has nothing to do with you right now. It has to do with where God's taking you, and He's teaching you to trust Him in the middle of the stuff you're going through because He wants to depart the grace that you're going to need for the things He's calling you in the next season. I mean, there is such a lack of faith in the charismatic Christian world. Even though we declare faith, 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 more people are filled with fear and struggle in the things that God is doing because we are not walking by faith, we're walking by what we see. Even though we're saying we trust God, we have all the right vernacular, we have all the right words, but the actions are not revealing the faith of God because when things happen, we get shipwrecked. We get sidetracked. We get overwhelmed. It's interesting. Point number two in this prayer, it says He makes His home in our lives when we trust Him. There it says, then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. You know, us moving, there's a lot of stuff that we are constantly doing to make the home feel normal, but it's painful. It's painful sometimes in the moving process. You got to get rid of stuff you really like. You have to buy new things that you like. There's work that has to be done on the inside of the house. There's things that I really hate doing, like stuff that really makes you test my godliness. You know, because I struggle in those areas, and then there's a process, right?
Anything with a tool.
Yeah, anything with a tool. Why? Because it challenges my manhood. Like,
Daddy.
Huh?
Where is Daddy?
Yeah, so it challenges my manhood. It assaults my security as a man because then I find something that I can't do that I know I should be able to do, and I've done it maybe before, and now it's just really frustrating me. It's not that I can't do it, but it's taking way longer than it should. And I've had to go to Lowe's 8 times already. Anybody ever been there? Any type of plumbing job works that way, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel myself just getting angry that here I am having to do this stuff. And it ain't working. And I don't know why. I think it's just stupidity. I don't know why, but it's like, why don't I just stop before I ever do a project and just say, Lord, I just thank you for wisdom. To show me what to get the first time when I'm at Lowe's and just show me what to do and what not to do. No, we don't do that. It's like reading instructions. Who needs that? I'm smarter than the instructions. The guy who made it, oh, I know more than he does. You know, it's like we go dumb. We do. And it's like this ritual of manhood. We figure it out. And then we fail. And we throw tools. We want to cuss. And we're going to scream at the kids. And it's like nothing seems to work. And then all of a sudden we stop and pray. And then God, and it's simple. It's like, God, why do we do this? Why do we make it this hard? We do this, don't we? We do this in life. Last result is to pray. God, what are you doing? Why is this so hard? When all else has failed, we finally pray and ask God for help. But it says here, He makes His home in our lives when we trust Him. What's interesting, when God comes in and makes his home, you know what he does? He rearranges the furniture. He says, oh, this shouldn't be here. He starts throwing things out. You're like, oh, wait a second. What are you doing here? I've had this for 5 generations in our family. How dare you kick this out? This is the way we do life. What's he doing? He's making room for what he wants to do in and through our lives. And God has a way of going in and tearing out walls and exposing dark rooms and pulling everything out of your closet. And he has a way of disrupting your normal life. Because that's what happens when you're in a renovation, right? I remember we had sheets up there where they were doing the sheetrock so the dust wouldn't get out. I don't care how good the sheets are, the sheetrock dust is still getting all over the house. And when God gets in there and starts renovating your life and your home, when you start opening it up and say, God, have your way, that's the most dangerous prayer you can pray. Because he goes, oh boy, here we go. And then we're crying. We're calling people to pray for us. We're like, I don't know what's going on. Our life is so hard. This is terrible. And all it is God is renovating. You said, I trust you, Lord, to have your way in my life. And he starts ripping stuff out. And you didn't know you had black mold behind the kitchen counter. You didn't know that you had a rotten floor underneath your sink. But he does. And he starts ripping out your beautiful tile that you spent so much money on and the things that you've invested in life. And God says, nope, you got to get rid of that. Nope, you can't put your trust in that. And we want to fight God. You know, a lot of our problems is we're fighting God, not the devil. Because when we fight the devil, we win. Every time. The name of Jesus is more powerful than anything the devil can do. The blessing is more powerful than any curse the enemy could try to put on you. The problem is that we end up fighting God on what he wants to do. Because we have our own agenda and our own way, and we hadn't died to ourselves. He said, if any man would follow me, he must what? Deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. There is this struggle that we have when we allow Jesus to come in and make his home in our lives. It's no longer ours. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And he goes, I don't like that. And you're like, well, I do. And guess what? The battle happens. And guess what? God will put you in a place of submission. He will choke you out. How do I know? Because there have been many times where I've been in there in the room going, oh, I don't think I can make it anymore. And I'm tapping out. And he's like, finally. You lasted a little bit longer than I thought you would. Because we're stubborn and hard-headed and we want it our way. And we've got to die to that. So he makes his home in our lives when we trust him. When you say, Lord, I trust you, God starts coming in and starts moving. And most of the time it's in ways that you're not wanting him to. You want, like we pray specifically, Lord, I trust you to do this. He goes, okay. And then he starts talking to you about something way over here in left field. And you're thinking, that has nothing to do with what this is. Like, can you stay on track? God is not ADHD. Okay, he's not distracted. He doesn't waste words. He's not randomly going after other things. No, there's a purpose in the things that he's addressing and the things he's dealing with in your heart and in your home and in your head. When you pray about certain things and trust the Lord to have his way in those areas and he starts talking to you about this, I can promise you that whatever he's talking to you about and whatever he's addressing is at the root source of whatever else problems you think you have. And if you'll let God have his way and obey him, you will see the solutions for whatever you've been praying about. All right, so he comes in. It's his house, not mine. He gets to do what he wants to do, not what I want to do. Number three, according to this prayer, we are to draw from him as our source of strength. And this place of trust and confidence in the Lord will enable us to grow in this dynamic, loving relationship. So, I don't really have a good analogy for this, but when I began to draw from the Lord, from his strength, what happens is I begin to see Well, the scripture talks about how wide, how deep, how high his love is. You begin to realize, whoa, God, you care about every intricate detail of my life. You care about every aspect of who I am. You want every aspect healed. You want every place whole. You want every place free. You're not satisfied with just me being okay in certain areas. You want to redeem every part of my life. Like your love is not satisfied just to come in and just rearrange furniture just a little bit. And sometimes it's a matter of you want to burn the whole house down and rebuild the thing. I mean, the hardest thing in the world is for the wrecking ball of God's love to come in and smash up your palace that you dreamed of and you thought this was your way of life, the way I wanted it, how I thought I needed it. But it's in this place, this process of drawing from God, the grace of God, and drawing from His strength and His supernatural power, that all of a sudden you begin to realize, man, you love me so much that you're fixing stuff in me that will affect future generations. Like, it's not just about today, it's about tomorrow and the next day. God is working in and through our lives in such a multifaceted way that we can't even comprehend the depth and the magnitude of His love for us. Yet, it says here in the scripture, but yet we're called to experience it. We're called to experience the love of God working in us, transforming us. God loves us so much that He doesn't leave us the way we are. He challenges us. He corrects us. He rebukes us. He encourages us. He gives us chance after chance to work these things out. But here's the thing, is it's in this abundance of mercy and grace that we see the depth of God's love for us. But we're only able to see that love when we're drawing from Him as our source. If we're not drawing from Him as our source, then we miss out on all the stuff that He is doing. We don't see it. We're unaware of it. Even though God loves us, when we press in and God, You're my source, and I'm leaning into You and I'm trusting You, it's as if the spiritual blinders are removed and we get to see how much God not only loves us, but how much He wants to be intimately involved in our lives on a daily basis, and that everything that concerns you, He's wanting to work those things out in our lives. We have to trust Him. We have to put Him as our source. He has to be our source. Not anything else. Him. Him alone. Then He goes on to say, it is to God's glory that we are able to walk in this life-giving way, and it is His power that works within us. So it's to God's glory. So God is doing these things to bring about or reveal His glory to the world around us. In other words, the struggle, that place of struggle that you have of yielding to God, that place of having to say, Lord, I trust You in the middle of this situation, and I'm going to choose to obey You and step out and do what You called me to do and deal with what You told me to deal with and to address what You told me to address and clean out what You told me to clean out and remove what You told me to remove. When I step out to obey those things, trusting the Lord, then what happens is God, His presence and power comes in and begins to move, and you may not see it, and you may not feel it, and you may not fully be aware of it, but what happens is it is apparent to those around you, and in the spirit realm, it's apparent to the enemy of the glory of God moving around you, and people begin to see God at work in your life. You know, it's kind of like, when you go away for a while, you come back, and the kids are in different stages in their life, and you go, wow, that kid really grew. And the kid's like, no, I hadn't. Because he hasn't seen that period of time where all of a sudden he's grown. All he sees it every single day. It doesn't seem like he's changing because he sees himself every day. But if you didn't see him for a while, then all of a sudden you saw him, you think, wow, you really grew. You've gotten big. That's what's happened with Ben over the last 6 months. You know, he's starting to hit puberty. He's getting a couple hairs underneath his arms. He comes in every day, oh, look at this. I got, no, don't show me that. I don't need to see that. You know, he's got other heirs too. And so it's like, and he's proud of it. You know, he thinks, oh, but all he sees is a couple. But what he doesn't realize is that, like, when he comes home and Papa and Granny see him, then all of a sudden they're like, oh, he's grown a couple inches. His whole body is different now. Well, this happens in us as believers. You don't feel the growth that's taking place in your simple obedience day to day to do what God says, tells you to do. But guess what? Those simple steps of obedience is working out, and the glory of God's surrounding you, and people are seeing it. You don't see it. You don't think anything about it. This slow progression begins to compound, and all of a sudden people begin to see God is working in your life. You know what it does? It creates a hunger and a thirst for them to know God too. So it is to God's glory. It is to His glory that we're able to walk in this life-giving way, in His power, in His grace. It's to His glory that we're able to do that. And then finally, this divine relationship produces more than we could ask or even think. It moves beyond us as individuals and impacts the body of Christ and the next generation. And I'm going to read that in the scripture again. It says, I think it's verse 20 and 21. Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. And so now, all glory to God. It's to His glory that we're able to walk in this, right? And what is He able to do? He's able, through His mighty power at work within us, to do infinitely more than what we could ask or even think. So I want to leave you with this thought and pose another question to you at the same time. Is the Lord is wanting to do more than you could ever ask or even think? He wants to do more than you could ask or even think. So no matter how good your prayer life is, no matter how good you could stretch your faith to believe God for things, God wants to do more than that. And He wants to do that for His glory, to reveal who He is to the earth. Right? We understand that this dynamic of Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, that He is doing these things in and through our lives. Why? Because He loves us. Because He's good. But ultimately, because He wants to reveal Himself to the world. He wants to reveal Himself to the world through us yielded to Him. Now, God will reveal Himself not only through your obedience, but also through your disobedience. Your disobedience will bring no reward to you, but God will still receive glory. But your obedience will bring a reward from heaven for you. So the question that I leave you with is, will you yield to the power of God to have His way through your life? Will you trust Him as your source? Will you allow Him to make His home in your life? And will you step out to obey Him in the grace of God that He's given you and walk in His power? Because that same power that transforms you is wanting to reveal to the world who He is. And we have to yield ourselves to Him. In the place of yielding, we work with God. In the place of resisting God, we fight against Him. Either way, God is going to be revealed in and through your life. One way, you get to participate with it, and you get to reap the exceeding benefits and rewards of walking with God. You get the joy of His presence, the hope of walking with Him, the fullness of life that He's called you to. And the other way, you get to struggle, you get to suffer, you get to walk in fear, you get to reap the benefit of death and all the things that sin do to destroy you. But either way, it's going to be revealed that if you serve God, this is who He is. And if you don't and you resist Him, this is what happens. You're going to bring glory to God. The Bible says that even the rocks will praise Him. Your life will bring glory to God one way or the other. And that's the scary thing is, God will give you the opportunity to bring glory to Him one way or the other. Which way are we going to choose? It's a choice. What did He tell them on the day of Pentecost, or when He ascended to heaven and told them? He said, you go to this place and you wait. He gave them specifics. Each one of you, God has specifics for you. There's things that God has spoken to your heart. I'm sure if we took time and everybody had an opportunity to share, you could probably share one or two things that every one of you have encountered where you know God said do this, or God said let this go, or God said you need to be here, or you need to do this. Are you faithfully doing what God's put before you? Are you pursuing it? Are you allowing Him to have His way? And again, if you are not experiencing the power of God, the grace of God, it's because you've not put your trust fully in Him. Today's the day to make that change, right? Today's the day. If you'll stand, I want to pray for you. The Bible makes it very clear that when we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, salvation is had. And when we believe in our heart and trust the Lord and say, Lord, I trust you. I believe what you say. And we make confessions out of our mouth. Lord, I will, whatever it is. It's in that place. You're not declaring that you, in and of your own strength, are going to do it. You're simply declaring, I'll do what you call me to do. And I thank you that there's grace for me to do it. Amen? So just right where you are, just with every head bowed and every eye closed, Lord, I just thank you. You know where every person is. Some of them in this room, they maybe they're not have an ongoing relationship with you. Maybe they're not fully committed or trusted you. And my prayer for them is that in their own heart that they would yield to you and say, Lord, have your way in me. I place my trust in you. I want your power at work in my life. I want you to make your residency in my heart. I want my life to be your home that you dwell in. I recognize that in order to do that, I've got to put my trust in you, and I do that right now. And that's just a declaration between you and the Lord. Lord, I place my trust in you. For others, you may place your trust in the Lord, but you find yourself waning in your faith. You may have found yourself in a place of shipwreck because of your circumstances, or overwhelmed by fear, or wondering, okay, God, what are you doing? Because what He showed you is not necessarily what's taking place in your life, and you're wondering why that is. And it could simply be because God's doing something over here in order for you to get where He said you're called to be. And you've got to trust Him. You've got to go ahead and make the declaration in your life, Lord, I trust that you know what you're doing in my life. And I trust that if there are places where I'm misstepping, for you to correct me. God, if there's places where I'm putting my trust in other things, Lord, I thank you for revealing it to me, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me. I want to trust you in all things. I want to live the life of faith that brings about the grace of God, which is the power of God to do your will. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that when we surrender to your will, that there is the power of God available for us to do what you've called us to do. And so I pray right now for those that feel like they've been sidetracked, or felt like that the promise is so far out, when is it going to happen? I thank you for just a fresh commitment, that quality decision to say, Lord, I will obey you. Whatever you have for me, I thank you. You'll speak to my heart. You'll show me what to do. And I will step out and obey you no matter what it is, because I trust you. And I thank you, Lord, that declaration of faith, that as they get into those places, as your Spirit leads them and guides them, as you order their steps, as they're leaning on you and not on their own understanding, that they will find the apprehension of your power is not something far off, something that they have to fast and pray for in order to see, but it's something right here, it's present, and it's in their simple act of obedience that they encounter the grace of God. And I thank you for freedom over them. Freedom from past struggles, freedom from past sin, freedom from past mistakes, freedom from trusting in other things. I thank you right now in Jesus' name, freedom over every heart and every life to serve you and to follow you in faith in every area. And I thank you, Lord, that's where the power lies. The power lies in putting our trust in you. And so I thank you for filling them, not just here in this moment, right now, it's available, but I thank you that tomorrow when they're struggling and wondering how is it going to take place, your power is available then too. Tonight when they lay down and they feel themselves concerned or worried, your power is available then too. And they will roll the cares of this world over onto you and they'll put their trust in you and they'll receive the power they need to be who you called them to be. I thank you that here at Church on the Rock, this is a powerful house that impacts the nations. It is a house that is filled with your glory, where the swirlings of God is all around that others can see. I thank you that this is a house that is equipping and sending people out. I thank you it's a place where the Holy Spirit dwells, where people can hear your voice with clarity, where they can walk in your power and reveal your nature and your kingdom everywhere they go. I thank you that this is a place where when they walk in, if there's anything that's out of line with your heart that gets realigned, I thank you, God, that this is a place that there are multiplying disciples in this house, where people are becoming closer and closer to you and revealing more and more of you in everything that they do. I thank you this is a house of miracles. This is a house of signs and wonders. I thank you this is a house where the Holy Spirit moves in power and in authority. And when people come into this place or people encounter this people here in the community, that they encounter you and your goodness and your glory. And it's a place for your kingdom come and for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. I thank you that this is a revival center where people are revived and renewed and restored and redeemed. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing all this for your glory and for your honor. And we worship you and we honor you. And we declare out of our mouths, have your way in this house. Have your way in our lives. Have your way in our marriages, in our families, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in our community. We trust you and we give you permission. Invade those spaces. In Jesus' name, let your power be revealed and your goodness be revealed and your great love, may it be known by those around them. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you need prayer for anything, I'd be glad to pray with you. If not, you guys have a wonderful, wonderful evening.